Anne wasn't kidding. She gave me an impossible job. Let me read to you from the email that she sent me. She was saying, I was hoping you could help close the session by talking about the connectedness between the global vaccine initiatives and our immunization efforts at home, particularly at the frontline local level. P.S., make it incredibly inspirational, amusing, pithy, and yet deep. And you know, that wasn't even the hardest part of the charge. The hardest part of the charge is on this slide here. You've all seen this graph before, but this basically shows the incredible advances that we've made in this country in immunizations during the last 60 years, with essentially complete elimination of many of the diseases that were causing child mortality. And so this talk had a little bit of a tough gestation, because on first blush, when you ask the question, what can we possibly learn from the developing world? The answer is nothing, because we've done such a good job here. But I had 15 minutes, so that's not the answer that I'm going to give you today. This is our target population in the developing world. This is a young boy from the Himba tribe on the border between Angola and Namibia, one of the more remote places in Africa, about 200 miles from the nearest town, about 150 miles from the nearest gas station. I'd like to ask you to go back in time about 10 years because the developing world was facing some incredible challenges with respect to immunizations, including, for example, trying to immunize this boy. As Oren mentioned, there was a complete failure in the ability to introduce new vaccines like hepatitis B and Hib, to say nothing of pneumococcal vaccine. In addition, there were stagnating coverage rates at levels far below what was optimum for this population. And third, and most importantly, I think, there was complacency. There was a sense of, we can't do any better. But some pretty amazing things have happened over the last 10 years globally. There have been remarkable increases in coverage for routine immunizations, particularly in the areas that needed it most in South Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa. Hepatitis B, Hib, yellow fever, vaccines that were not in use 10 years ago are now in use, and tens of millions of children have received those vaccines, and there's promise for rotavirus and pneumococcal in just the next couple of years. And there's been remarkably increased spending on immunizations in developing countries from all sources, not just philanthropic sources. So one way to think about it is, well, finally those guys figured it out, figured out how to do it, and that doesn't apply to us. That's my daughter. That's when she was still cute when she stuck out her tongue. She's become a bit of a shopping maven since then, and so is, in my mind, is the icon for the industrialized world child. And so the question really underlying this talk is it true that those guys have finally figured it out and we've had it all along? Well, let me show you some data to challenge that a bit. This slide shows the uptake of a new vaccine, varicella, in this country, a process that's taken over 10 years, which is probably not a long time geologically speaking, but is a long time in the world of vaccines. When varicella vaccine was licensed, Yahoo had not been founded, the Dow Jones had not yet crossed 4,000, and there were no such things as DVDs. And this is a vaccine where it was critically important to get as rapid uptake as possible because of the danger of missing some children and having them not have natural varicella and wind up getting varicella as adults. This slide shows child immunization rates in this country since 1997. A little bit of an upward slope, but perhaps not nearly as much as we wanted and not nearly as much as is needed. And this slide shows adult immunization rates, specifically influenza immunization in adults, a flat line with a tailing off, actually, in the last couple of years, primarily related to vaccine shortages. So maybe we aren't so different. And maybe it would be reasonable, and this is what I'm going to do, to take a little bit closer look at what actually happened in the developing world, because there might be lessons for us. Oren showed this slide. One of the things that happened was that an alliance was created, because there was a recognition that the existing system was not producing the results that were needed, and change was needed. This was in a broad alliance of stakeholders. It's not worked perfectly, but that's another talk. But what it really did was to say that the world around us was changing. It was becoming flatter. And that change brings both crisis and opportunity. Gavi needed to think about some of the new realities that were there. And in short, things needed to be done differently. Let me mention four of the most interesting innovations that have were performed by this alliance. The first, and Oren spoke to this as well, was that vaccine introduction strategies were actually created. In addition to WHO recommending vaccines analogous to our ACIP on the bottom on the red, this alliance got together and said a recommendation in and of itself is not necessarily going to mean that that vaccine is introduced, and so we need to develop an implementation strategy that combines that recommendation with practical ways to actually introduce the vaccine. Second, there were innovations in funding. Bonds based on commitments from donor countries to contribute money in the future were actually sold on the private bond market, creating $4 billion in reserves to immediately invest in improving immunizations now. And the advanced market commitments have become a reality, where we're now creating funding for companies to be assured that there's a market for these vaccines. Third, there was a recognition that immunizations cannot be performed just by the immunization system, but actually requires strengthening of the overall health system. And so $800 million has been made available to countries to strengthen their health system, not just their immunization system, with needed increases in workers, in training, and in facilities. And then there was a recognition within the immunization system that there needed to be a transformation there to performance-based, data-driven programs, including providing resources for children that were pledged to be immunized, and then letting immunization programs in developing countries use those resources as they saw fit to improve immunization rates. And this has worked dramatically, as been shown by several countries. So I showed this slide the first time to say, is there a similarity between the challenges that we're facing between the developing world and the industrialized world? And I put it up here now to say, are there some lessons that we can learn from what has been working in the developing world that we can apply to the U.S.? Well, you know, in some ways, immunizations is the poster child for public health, but I think we need to think, could we be doing things better? The world is flat, it's changing. People have greater expectations, more access to data, more belief that things will be done effectively and efficiently. And so just as with Gavi, we need to be thinking about, are we relying on a system that's a little bit time-worn, perhaps a little bit stuck and antiquated, with even a cobweb or two from lack of recent motion? And instead, maybe we need to be considering that our approaches to immunization need to be changed to match the world around us. I'm guilty of this. I've been in a state of pre-contemplation with respect to change in immunization, and maybe we need to be moving to that contemplation or ready for action stage. Oops. This slide shows the HPV introduction in where I'm working now in Seattle, King County. In our first year of introduction, we've gotten immunization rates up to about 15%. That question mark shows two things. First off, we don't know where our immunization rates for HPV are going into the future. And in addition, we don't really have a plan to get us there. We seem to be somewhat passive and reactive, don't we, when we introduce vaccines in this country, sort of expecting that the right things will happen, in contrast to the approach that's been taken in the developing world, where well in advance of vaccine introduction, those people who are on the ground who will be delivering it are developing plans to effectively introduce it. Financing. You know, this was the big issue in the developing world, because in a country like Mozambique, one-third of their entire health budget is what's needed to introduce a single vaccine like HIB. And so down to the last dollar, people were thinking about how do we do this. You know, no one knows how much we spend on immunizations in this country. I called around before this talk thinking that would be an interesting number, including here to CDC, and a precise number is not available. People believe that it's someplace over $6 billion just for childhood immunizations, but we really haven't thought about how much money it is that we're spending. And we all know that vaccine pricing has changed forever our definition of what cost affordability is or what cost effectiveness is. Now, Gavi has rationalized the resources that are available against its goals and prioritized. Maybe we need to be doing the same. At a minimum, we need to be better engaging, I believe, with healthcare reform, better engaging with the vaccine companies, advocating for financing, and thinking about those innovative financing mechanisms that might work in this country. This slide is from the Larry Ortman article showing the recent ACIP recommendation to expand immunization coverage to all children younger than 19. Boy, this is a great recommendation, but how are we going to do that? Have we really been thinking about the expansion in our delivery system that's going to be needed? Have we really been thinking about the health system strengthening that we need to engage in to assure as we move to this model, to say nothing of an adolescent visit, of covering those women who are older than 18 for HPV, of providing immunizations for adults and our elderly, how are we going to engage with the private sector and how are we going to effectively develop those complementary models in shopping marts and Walmarts and Kmarts, et cetera? And then finally, just as Gavi did, I would suggest that we need to be thinking about how we can improve our availability of local data and use it. You know, the further away we get from the front lines in this country, the better data we have. This is immunization rates nationally. I'm going to move now to Oregon on the left coast and show you immunization rates in Oregon. And the bottom line here is that the difference in rates between the lowest county in Oregon and the highest county in Oregon is actually greater than the difference between the lowest state in this country and the highest state in this country. And now I'm going to move to that little county on the left, Lincoln County, on the Oregon coast. And this shows immunization rates by census tract within that county. And here, the difference between the lowest census tract and the highest census tract is actually different than the state differences and is actually greater than the national differences. So we need to be granular in our approach to looking at immunization rates, and in particular, take a lesson from the healthcare community, the Dartmouth Atlas, which looks at healthcare quality by hospital and takes advantage of the variation in those rates to come up with new and innovative strategies for delivering. This slide shows King County and our current data that we have for what our local immunization rates are by census tract. We don't have those data. Oregon is really leading this along with a couple of other states with respect to immunization systems, and we need to get, I think, on the ball, just as Gavi did, and try to get that data more comprehensively. Okay, I'll stop. Not all is bad with us. This is meant to be a little bit provocative, and there are huge lessons, as you've heard about how what we've been doing in this country do translate to the developing world, including having a national advisory group that's incredibly efficient, surveillance, and cold chain and distribution. So to sum up, I think our failure to rapidly introduce new vaccines and our stagnating coverage rates are a problem not only in the developing world, but in the U.S. as well. Now, globally, innovative approaches, including the Gavi Alliance, have made great strides in the past decade and potentially can provide valuable lessons from which we can learn. Vaccine introduction requires advanced strategic planning, and Gavi has done this successfully. We need to adopt that model. Financing was a huge rate-limiting step in the developing world. It's becoming one for us now, and we need to engage in healthcare reform and think about innovative financing. Even with a public sector delivery system, Gavi recognized the importance of health system strengthening. That challenge is probably even greater in this country. As we expand into multiple age cohorts, we need to engage more effectively with the private sector and with the business community. And the immunization delivery system in the developing world adopted a more business-based approach with performance-based funding and local data. We don't have such a system here, and it might be wise for us to think about how to implement that. But perhaps the unifying feature in creating success in all of this is shown on this slide. You know, a barrier to doing big things is that sometimes when you think big, you get trapped into thinking about big existing systems, and you get trapped into thinking within a box. We need instead, I think, to start with a very local perspective, and in particular, what is it that we need to do to immunize that individual child? Because if you think locally, it's actually easier to see the problems, and more important, it's often easier to see the solutions, particularly the innovative ones that carry the most promise. Once you figure that out, once you've done the thinking and the figuring, then it's time to act global. Thank you very much.